the Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God.
All right, amen. Praise the Lord. That was a blessing. Thank you so much for encouraging us with that song. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so with that said, we don't want to delay. We want to get as much Bible as we can get. Pastor Edgar, if you want to make your way on up here, I donated our wireless headset to our church. We went down on our mission trip in Obregon. So if this is all right with you, or do you want me to put it here on the sand?
That's okay.
Okay, brother, there you go. Thank you so
much. Amen. All right. Well, good. Oh, see, there you go. Look at all this under here. That's his name. TV, not the dish. I was like, good deal. Oh, you can put the game and I can preach at the same time. Amen. There you go. All right. Well, folks, I'm glad you're in church. Amen. And it's a wet day today, but it's okay. Like I told our folks today, you know, you weren't going to melt. You can come to church. You know, water's not going to kill you. Just a little, you get your hair wet just a little bit. Amen. But I'm glad you're in church. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here with you. And we had a good time with my children, at least talking and having on our way down here. And I was just here yesterday in Lemon Grove. And so came back again this way. I'm like, man, I should have just stayed the night around here. Amen. But all right. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want to help you. As you know, in a few weeks, you're going to be celebrating Christmas, but I want you to get ready for the new year, not to bypass Christmas and that the season that we're in. But, you know, this year that's coming, I believe it's going to be, and I always say that to our folks, every new year, it gives us an opportunity to start over. Fresh start, clean slate, forget everything that happened, and this year, all your mistakes and failures, we leave those behind and we start fresh. And we say, Lord, help us. And so I want to help you as we get into this new year and just give you a little something. Get ready for the new year. And I always tell our folks, proper prior planning prevents poor performance. That means if you get ready, you'll have a good new year. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. And Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to look at a few verses just to get us started there. And Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 1. If you don't mind standing for the reading of God's word, I believe there's two things we stand for. Number one, we stand for the Bible. And number two, we stand for the flag. Okay, let's go ahead and open our Bibles there. Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we have passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make these sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the cell same day. Verse number 12, we'll stop there. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And Father, oh, I surely need you. I just want to be a help and a blessing to this ministry, Lord. I pray that everyone that's here, Father, would just, open ears, dear God, and just allow your word to do something in our hearts, that Father, that we can leave better than what we came. And Father, please, would you do something in us and through us? We love your word, and we love, Father Lord, how your word changes us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love that statement. Amen. Where the Bible changes us, and we don't change the Bible. Amen. Well, that's good. Amen. That's a good one. I like that. Who came up with that? Your wife? Or was that you? You came up with that? Amen? Okay. All right. You know, sometimes I take credit for everything, whether my wife came up with it or not. I say, hey, it was me. Amen. I tell her afterwards, I'm like, look, hon, all right, I'm the pastor. People need to think I'm smart. All right. But she's the brains of the operation. And so now Joshua chapter 5. How do we get to Joshua chapter 5? Well, a lot of things have happened from them leaving Egypt and getting to Joshua chapter 5. So my label or title to the message is, get ready for a new year. Get ready for a new year. Israel is getting ready to enter the promised land. They're getting ready to enter the promised land. Now remember how we got there. Moses has led his people out of Egypt. Pharaoh changes his mind after all that has taken place. You remember all the plagues that went on, the different plagues that they had to deal with. And Pharaoh changes his minds and pursues after them. He finds them cornered there at the Red Sea. Pharaoh behind them, the Red Sea ahead of them. And then, of course, God allows them to walk through the Red Sea. And God takes care of Pharaoh and all his army, and they drown. And, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, how can that be true in the Bible? For those who are skeptics of the word of God, I always tell them, well, you know, well, did God really drown all these people in the Red Sea? That's impossible. That didn't happen. The sea didn't split open. I said, okay, but how can you explain the drowning of all these people? They're like, well, you know, because they think the Red Sea actually didn't split. I'm like, okay, so how do you explain people drowning then? I said, because if it was just a little bit of water and they walked through there, then God did a greater miracle, because he drowned grown men and horses in a little puddle of water, right? I mean, that's how you have to look at it. But those who are skeptics of the word of God, but we believe that God opened the sea and allowed them to walk through. They go in, they as they're marching to the promised land, they get hungry. And just like I am hungry, amen. And but you know, they get hungry, and God provides every day. He provides manna, right? He provides angels' food. He gives them there. They get thirsty. What does God do? He opens up a fire hydrant for them, right? He says from the rock, water starts coming out, and they quench their thirst. God tells them about the promised land. He says it's a land that flows with milk and honey. And yet, God, after God told them all that, they still send out spies to go check out the land. God said, I already told you the land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And yet they go, and then you remember, they were there at what is called Kadesh Barnea. This is the place of decision. And they get to that point, and they decide, instead of going into the promised land, they decide not to go in there. They decide to stay back. And so the Lord gets mad, and he tells them, for the next 40 years, you will wander in the wilderness. And finally, we get to Joshua chapter 5. After all that's taken place, we finally get to Joshua chapter 5 when the children of Israel come back to the door of the promised land. They have crossed the Jordan River. And just remember, just like God was with Moses, God told Joshua, I'm going to be with you. And matter of fact, I'm going to show you that I'm not just going to, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I opened the Red Sea for Moses. I'm going to open the Jordan River for you. So the Jordan River is behind them, and the promised land is ahead of them. They're at this place called Kadesh Barnea. They're at the door of going in to the promised land. Now, Jericho is ahead of them. Jordan is behind them. And they're ready to enter a new chapter, a new season, a new year, if you please, into the promised land. They stand ready on the promises that God is going to be with them. As I was with Moses, I will be with you, Joshua. And now we see some things, though, but before they go into the promised land, there's some things that need to happen. Before they go into the promised land, some things need to take place. They would see better things if they believe that God was with them. They believe that God did not just bring us this far just to leave us there. Isn't that a good thing to know, that no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter what you've been through this year, no matter as we're coming to the end of this year, God didn't just bring you to the end of this year just to give you a bad year. All right. God didn't bring you all this far just to say, guess what? You're on your own next year. You're all on your own. No, God brought us this far because God has something for us for the new year. I always tell folks this. If you're alive, that means God has a purpose for you. If you're alive, that means God has a purpose for you. Because if you were dead, then God has no more purpose for you. Amen. So if you're still living, God has something for you. I'm here to say to someone that you've been through some things this year, and maybe 2022 has been a tough year. Maybe we've seen a lot of valleys, and we've seen a lot of ups and downs in our life. And 2022, you've been through the ringer, you've been through the ups and downs, and you've been through the valley. But let me tell you, God has not brought you this far just to leave you there. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. There are some things that God has for you, some things that God has prepared for you in this new year. Doesn't God know the beginning from the end? He knows what's gonna, every valley and every problem you're gonna face next year, God knows that. Let me help you. But how to get ready to enter the promise, how to get ready for the new year. Well, there's some things that you and I need to do. How to get ready for the new chapter of our life. How to get ready for that new season of our life. There are some things that we must do before we enter 2023. So before we go into the new year, four things you and I must do
they are here at the door. Jericho's ahead of them. Jericho meant what? That meant they were going into the promised land. Now, Jericho, remember, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land, they were still going to have battles and struggles. So don't think that you're going to go into this promise that God has that God is giving you for this new year and think, well, I'm not going to have any problems. I'm not going to have any trials. The promised land for the children of Israel was still a place of troubles and battles and fights that they have to go. But before they went into the promised land, they came out of the Jordan. Jordan's behind them. What is Jordan? What is behind them? Egypt is behind them. The old life is behind them as they're going into the new that God has for them. Now, there's some things that we got to take care of. Number one, everyone has to be circumcised. First thing you and I got to do is there has to be circumcision. I want you to look at your Bibles, and we're going to use scripture, and look at what it says there in chapter 5 and verse number 2. And at the time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives. That doesn't sound nice. Amen. It says, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Here's what happened. If you remember, you're reading as the passage we just read, the children of Israel came out. Those that came out of Egypt were circumcised, but they died. And now their children were there, and they were already grown up in the wilderness, but they had never been circumcised. And God told them that before you go into the new season and into God, what God has for you, you must first get circumcised. God said, I want you to go through some pain. I want you to go to the painful progress of circumcision because there are some stuff that you need to cut off. You can march into the land of promise until you get rid of some things in your life. See, for the Jewish, circumcision of the foreskin, for the that meant for them, that was a identification mark that they belong to the Lord Almighty. Now, for us Christians today, and New Testament believers, the Bible says in Romans, look at your Bibles there in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. Romans 2, 29, but he is a Jew, which is one outwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I want you to notice the Bible says circumcision is of the heart. That means in the Old Testament, they had to follow a law that was given to them. That was circumcision, was an identification mark that they belonged to the Lord. New Christian believers, we are circumcised. Our circumcision is a circumcision of the heart, is a circumcision of the heart. Our Christianity is a daily circumcision of the heart, cutting off things in our life that need to be dealt with. Amen. That things that hinder my daily walk with God. It is the practice of laying down every sin that does so easily beset us. It is the practice of choosing rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's a daily circumcision, is a cutting off of anything that stops you and I from walking with God. That's what circumcision of the heart means. Cutting off anything in our life that stops us from walking with God. If you're going to move into what God has for you, this coming year, there's some things in your life and there's some stuff that you and I need to cut off. Circumcision was a sign that identified them as God's people. The reason for it was because God didn't want them to go into the promised land and look like everybody else. God didn't want them to go into the promised land and look like everybody else. He said, you are different. You are a peculiar people, and you are not to be like everybody else in that land where I'm taking you to. God was not sending them into a new place just to blend in, but to be different. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are a peculiar people. Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought not to be ashamed. We ought to be different than what this world tells us. Amen. Not ashamed to proclaim the word. Not ashamed to read the Bible at work. Not ashamed to be different. Not ashamed to tell someone how good God has been to you. Have you done that? Have you declared it? Have you said to others, you know what? I'm not going to be like everybody else. I will be different. Too many people today in churches today, everybody wants to blend in. I understand we all want to be liked. But we're not going to, but there, the Bible does admonish us to be different. The Bible does admonish us to be peculiar, to be different than everybody else in this year. You ought to come out in this year, this new year that's coming. You ought to come out of the closet and let everyone know you are a Christian. Amen. And you are a Christian. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. We need to cut some things in our life. We need to cut some things off. Amen. Some things in our life that are no good for us. We need to cut off that fear that holds us back from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to cut off that fear that cripples us, that doubt that discourages, that worry that gives us anxiety, that bitterness that happened this year. We need to get rid of that. We need to cut that off, that anger that we have. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Nothing wrong with getting angry. Everybody gets angry. You ought to get angry. You ought to get angry at injustice. You ought to get angry at sin. You ought to get angry. Now, I believe some people, I never get angry. Something's wrong with you if you don't get angry. You should get angry at when people are mistreated. You should get angry at sin. You should get angry. Why should we get angry at sin? Because of what it does to people. We should get angry. We need to cut off that anger. We need to cut off unforgiveness. Is there anybody in your life in this year that you haven't forgiven? Anyone that has, well, you know, Pastor, they did me dirty. I get it. But the Bible says, if you cannot forgive your brother that you do see, he said, then how do you expect God to forgive you? The Bible says you need to we are to forgive people that do us wrong. Too many of us are just carrying too much baggage into the new year. You know, have you ever gone on the airport and you see some people? It's like my daughter sometimes when we're traveling and I'm like, why are you guys taking so much luggage? We're only going for 2 days. It's like, well, that bag is for my shoes. That's for my makeup. That's for my outfits. How many outfits? I have what I'm wearing and the day after. I take a little bag. And they're like, and the shoes I have on, I have a pair, the ones I have on, and a pair of tennis shoes in case I need them. But, you know, they carry so much baggage. And, you know, that reminds me of how we are sometimes. We carry so much baggage into the new year. You know, the baggage you had in 2021 is the same baggage you still have today because you didn't leave it back. You're still carrying it with you. You still have all that luggage you're lugging around with you. You're lugging some things around, too much baggage in your life. And there's some of us that we need to cut some of that baggage off. That means some of that fear, that doubt, that worry, that bitterness, that anger, that unforgiveness, some of that stuff that you're still carrying from last year. And folks, things are not going to be any better in 2023 if you don't cut off some of that baggage that you're still are holding on to in your life. There's some things that we need to cut off, but there's some people that we need to cut off. Hey, there's some things in our, some people we need to cut off from our life. If they're not helping you, you need to cut them off. If they're not making you better, you need to cut them off. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. And some of us have a deficiency of iron. Why? Because we're hanging around the wrong people who are not helping us, who are not motivating us, they're not encouraging us, and they're not moving us to where God wants us to move to. Some of us will never fulfill God's purpose for our life simply because we have the wrong people in our life. God did never assign them in your life. You just allow them to be in your life. See, God assigns certain people in your life to help you and to move you to where he wants you to go. Now, there's some things that we need to cut off. There's some people we need to cut off. Because I believe if they're pulling you down, then you need to cut them off. Amen. Anybody who doesn't add to you, you need to cut off. There's only one number that doesn't add to anything, and that's the number zero. In other words, that's what they are. They're simply a zero in your life. Folks, look, you say, well, Pastor, what do I do if they get close to me? You let them know, like, you get any closer, I'll cut you, man. Amen? You let them know, I'll cut you. And folks, that's what you got to let them know. We need to cut some things before we enter the new thing. So before we go into the promise, what do we have to do? We got to get circumcised. Circumcision of the heart. We need to take care of some things in our life. There's some things that we need to cut off, and there's some people we need to cut off from our life. Number two, in order for us to go into the new promise and into the promised land and into the new year, God said, before I can release you, God said, I need you to be healed. See, there's some healing that has to take place in your life before you go into the new year. See, some folks go from relationship to relationship with the same hurt that you had in the previous relationship. You're going to take it to this new relationship and you're going to mess it up. God said, before you go into anything new in this new year, God wants you to get healed first. I want you to look at your Bible. Look at verse number 8. Look at it again in our text, Joshua chapter 5. And verse number 8. Look at Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 8. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people, okay, so we took care of the circumcision, that they abode. What does that mean? That means they were there. They didn't go anywhere. They were sitting still. The Bible says there, verse 8, they abode in their place in the camp. How long? Until they were whole. What does that mean? Until they were healed. Until they were healed, they couldn't go any further. Until they were healed, they couldn't move on to the promise that God had for them. You can't go forward until you're healed from that loss in your life. You can't go forward until you're healed from that betrayal that you have suffered. You can't go forward until you're healed from that love you gave and that was never reciprocated back to you. You can't go forward until you deal with the hurt in your life, because hurt people hurt people. Amen. You can't go any further until you deal with the pain that you have gone through in this year. Whatever happened, no matter if it was your mom or your dad or a brother or a sister or even the pastor himself, there's some things in your life you got to get healed in order for you to go into what God has for you in the new year. If you don't deal with the hurt, your hurt will deal with you. You must deal with the hurt so you can enjoy the promise of a new day. You must deal with the hurt so you can enjoy 2023. So you can have a wonderful year. But until you deal with that hurt, you can go forward. You can go forward. Now, let me say this. If you don't deal with the hurt, your hurt will hurt people that haven't done anything to you. You ever met people that way? All of a sudden, they just fly off the handle on you. You're like, man, I didn't do anything to you. What's wrong with you? What's your problem? And you're like, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, what's wrong? Are you okay? Hurt. They haven't dealt with. So innocent people sometimes are hurt because of your hurt that you haven't dealt with. You'll go off on people who never did anything to you. You'll never see the beauty of what God has in front of you until you deal with the hurt of today, of those who wounded you in the past. The Bible says there in Joshua 5:8 that they abode. Sit still. Why? Seeing that they were weak, seeing that they could not go on. See, understand what has happened. Circumcision had taken place. And now they said, you got to heal before you move on. Because remember, in the promised land, what were you going to face? You were going to face enemies. You were going to face battles. And you can't go into a new battle when you're weak and you're not able to fight. And you understand that in Genesis, we talk about, Jacob's 12 sons? There was one daughter, though. They had one daughter. Dana, I forget her name. I have it here. I'm trying to think in my head. Diana or Dana, I forgot what her name is. One of those things, amen. She went out in the town and she got mixed up with the wrong group. She got raped by a guy there. And so when the brothers found this out, they came and they came to those guys and said, hey, I know you know what happened. You want to be with my sister? You want to be part of our family? They're like, yeah, we want to be family. This is what we want you to do. We want you to circumcise all the men in the city. They're like, okay. And that's how we are going to be together. We're going to be one happy family because you cannot be part of us if you're not circumcised. They're like, okay, we'll circumcise all the men. And the Bible says that they circumcised all the men. And when they did, they were weak. And what happened? They came, two brothers came with swords and they killed every man in the whole town. They slew them all, killed them all. Why? Because they couldn't fight because they were weak. Neither can you when you don't deal with the hurt in your life. You can't go into the promised land of your life and you cannot go into the new year until you deal with the pain that you have dealt with this past year. Until you deal with the hurt that you deal with. You say, well, Pastor, I can't fight. Well, the Bible says this. The Lord says, when you can't fight, the Lord said, I'll fight for you. I'll take care of your enemies. I'll take care of whatever you're going to face in this coming year. So when you are weak and when you can't go on, God says, I'll take care of you. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing that to know that the Lord will fight our battles? Look at your Bibles. Look at Exodus chapter 14. Look at Exodus 14 and verse 13. Exodus 14. You love the Bible. Amen. Love the word of God. Look at Exodus 14 and verse 13. I like this here. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Why? The Lord, verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you. Amen. The Lord shall fight for you. Isn't it good to know that when you're weak and cannot fight, God fights for you? I don't know about you. He's better at it than I am. I'd rather let him fight for me than me trying to fight it all on my own. That's what he was saying. So before we go into the promised land, we need to, number one, we need to have a circumcision of the heart. We got to cut some things off in our life that is going to hinder us from enjoying 2023. So before we go into the promised land, we got to take care of the hurt. God said, I can't release you until you take care of the hurt of 2022. Number three, God has to stop the manna in order for you to go into the promised land. He said, what? What? God has to stop the manna. Now, do you know what the word manna means? The word manna is a question. The word manna means, what is it? The reason they named it manna, it was because they didn't know what it was. When they saw it, they said, what is it? I don't know. That's exactly the translation. It means, what is it? It means it's a question. We don't know what it is. This year, this coming year, God doesn't want you to live with questions. God wants you to live with some answers that you know that God is able, that God can deliver, that God can help you, and that God will be with you through the thick and through the thick and thin of your life. Look at what it says in chapter 5 and verse 12, Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. Why? Why did God didn't want to have any manna anymore? Because manna is a question. You cannot go into the new year with a bunch of questions whether God is faithful or not. By now, you should know that God is dependable and reliable, and you can trust in him that he will help you. So the questions of what is it? How is it going to happen? God says no more manna for us, because there's by this time, you should know that you know that you know that you know that God is able to answer prayer. Amen. Do you know that? Do you know that in your life, that God answers prayer? Because if you don't, then you're going to go into this new year questioning God and his word and his ability to take care of you in 2023. This is why, because manna is a Hebrew question that means, what is it? It's a question that is not answered. Manna means something we don't understand. So the reason God stopped the manna was because by now there should be some things in your life that you already know. Folks, I already know that my God is able. I know what God is able to do in my life. I have seen him throughout the years. There's no more manna for me. I'm not asking, what is it? How is God going to do this? How is God going to take care of me? I know how he's going to do it. Why? I just leave it in his hands, because he is a great God. And all I got to do is just trust in him. Amen? You know, we talk about trusting God, but we really don't trust him. We talk about, I believe in prayer, but we really don't pray. If I ask you, what did you pray? Did you pray this week? Did you spend time with God this week? Because to the degree that you pray, it determines how much faith you have. Some of us say, well, you know, you'll kick anybody that comes in behind this pulpit and say, I don't believe in prayer. You'll kick them out the door. But you should kick yourself out there, because you don't either, because we don't pray enough. Because if we truly believed in prayer, you'll be praying more than what you're praying right now. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself, because I know I need to pray more. We need to spend more time in prayer and believe that God can change things in our life. So before we go into the new year, some things we got to take care of. We got to stop the manna. Why? Because God said, I don't want you to have any questions. I want you to know who I am by now. You should know that I am a God who is able to do the impossible. But with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Now, quickly, before we go into the new promised land, before we move on to the new chapter, before we move on to the new season of our life, before we move on to the new season, before you move into the new promise that God has for you, number four, you must have Passover. You must have Passover. Now, again, if you failed Sunday school, okay, Passover is, remember when they were in Egypt and God was going to deliver them. One of the last things that happened was an angel of death was going to come and kill the firstborn of everyone there, not just the Egyptians, everyone. It was not just for them, because he told them, you got to put blood on the doorpost. So that's that song. When that's that old song, that old hymn. I don't know if you guys sing it here. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's an old song that means simply, it's talking about what the Lord did for them. The angel of death came, and when he saw the blood, he passed over, right? He passed over them. And that was a thing that was established to them. Now, remember, these guys never saw Passover. They didn't have this on their resume. They didn't know what Passover was. So God told them, and God told Joshua, y'all need to have the Passover. He said, why? Why do we need to have Passover? To remind you of what I did for you back then. Amen. Look at what it says there. Look at your Bibles. Verse 11, Joshua chapter 5, verse 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow, after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn in the self same day. The Bible says that they what? Had the Passover. Remember, they didn't even know what the Passover was. Their parents did. They didn't. But God wanted them to understand. You must remember. And God wanted them to understand that. Remember how I delivered you from Egypt. The Passover was a reminder of what God has done. So before we march into the new year, we must praise God for what he has done this year. Amen. Why don't you praise God for what he's done this year? I know we can't wait for the next year, but why don't you thank the Lord for what he has done this year? Before we go into the promised land, we need to thank him for the blessings he's given us here in 2022. The things that, and the Passover, by the way, but the Passover was this. It was not just to thank him and praise him for what he had done for them, but I want you to understand something, that the Passover, it was not just for them, but to also to remember what God had also done for someone else. It's easy to praise God for us, but why don't you praise God for what God has done for your other brother and sister in the Lord? Why don't you praise God for what he's done for other people? Amen. I thank the Lord for what he's done, not just in our, I thank the Lord what he's done in our church. But you know what? I rejoice as well, what he's done in somebody else's church. Why? I'm praising God for what God is able to do with somebody else, because my experience of praise is not limited to my own personal experience, but what the experience of other. I rejoice when they rejoice. I thank the Lord because God is blessing somebody else. Instead of being angry, upset, and saying, God, where's my blessing? Praise God that God is good, and not just, well, God is good, yes, but he's not just going to be good to you. He's good to everybody else. Amen. Look, God doesn't want you to limit your praise to you and your own personal experience, but praise God. Not just for what you saw this year in your life, but what you saw God do in others as well. In other words, praise God for the victories of your brothers and sisters, not just your own. Amen. Praise God for your brothers and sisters, not just your own. So, in order for us to go into the promised land, God said, there are some things that you need to do. So before we go into the promised land, we got to do those four things to help us enjoy 2023. Are you ready? Let's get ready. 2023. I can't wait. I love it. I love a new year, a new start. Let's go into 2023 praising God for what he's done and for what he will do. Amen. And for what he will do. That's how they went into the promise that God has for you. God has some promises for you and for me this coming year. Aren't you excited about that? Hey, but before you and I can go into it, we got to take care of some things. You got to get rid of some things in your life. You got to take care of some stuff in your life that you know is no good for you. You can't drag the same hurt, the same pain, and the same sin that you've been dealing with and take it into the new year. Because guess what? You say, well, it's going to be a new year. It's going to be better. Uh-uh. Can I tell you something? We call this insanity. Thinking by doing nothing, things are going to get better. You know what that's called? That's called craziness. You know what we do with people like that? We put them in a mental institution. And some of us think, I'm okay. I'm going to go into the new year and I'm all right, without making no changes in your life. It's not going to work. You know, the Bible talks about the word of God is a mirror. You know, did you look at yourself in the mirror this morning? Everyone look at themselves in the mirror this morning. Raise your hand if you looked at the mirror this morning. Raise your hand. Okay, great. I did. I was there making sure the hair was in place. Amen. I'm like, all right. Oh, it's a little, I'm going to put more hairspray. It's wet out there. Amen. My hair is going to stick up from the back. So, you know, putting more hairspray down and, you know, getting my hair ready, fixing the tie. I said, all right, I'm good. I'm ready to go to church. You know, you fix your, because if you see something, you're like, oh, wow, I got something in my teeth. Guess what you do? You fix it, right? You take it off. You fix it. Oh, man. Here's my mirror. I look at the Word of God. And you look at it. And some of us, we walk away the same. The Word is a mirror. You're all messed up and torn up from the ground up. And yet you're looking at the Bible, the mirror of the Word of God. And you're still not changing things. The law just revealed to you. The Word of God said, you got to fix some things. Let's change it up so you can enjoy the promises that I have for you in 2023. Are you ready to go into the new chapter, that new season, that new relationship, whatever it may be? There's some things in your life that you got to fix before you go into that new year. If not, it'll be the same old thing. And you'll come to another year with the same old stuff and the same old and the same stuff you went through in 2022. You'll face the same thing again. Sad. I don't know about you, but I want to see the victory. I want to see God do great things in my life and in my ministry, and rejoice to hear not just what God is doing in my church, but to rejoice to hear what God is doing here at Simple Faith Baptist Church as well. Amen. Because you know what? I'll tell you something, church. You got a church in Fontana who is cheering you guys on. Let's make it. You got a church in Fontana that says, we're praying for you. Let's do it. You're our brothers and sisters. We love you, and we want God to do something great here in Oceanside. Amen? God can do it, but it's going to take you taking care of some of the old baggage in your life. Father, we love you. I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord. If there's anything in our life that needs to be taken care of, I pray that you would just, Lord, make sure we take care of the circumcision of the heart, anything that hinders our walk with you. There's some things that we need to cut off, that fear, that doubt, that anger, that grudge, that unforgiving heart. Maybe there's some people we need to cut off, Father, Lord, that are not helping us and not encouraging us. Father, Lord, not just that, but there may be, Father, there's some things in our life that we need to heal. Dear God, we need to heal from that hurt, that pain in our hearts, so we can enjoy a new tomorrow. Father, for some, we just, dear God, for some of us, we need to know who you are. Father, you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Father, by now, we should know how you're able to do all things. Lord, by now, we should know that you answer prayer. By now, we should know how you deliver us, Father, how you took care of us. Father, help us to praise you for what you did this year. Father, Lord, but not just for ourselves, but to thank you also for what you're doing in the life of our brothers and sisters who are also serving you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of today. I'll pass it on. Brother Carlos, you can come.
Let's go ahead and finish today's fellowship with a hymn, Softly and Tenderly. Wow, that was a powerful message, church. I want to thank you guys for hanging in there, and thank you for showing love to our pastor and just being a blessing to him by showing yourself attentive. It really spoke to me, Pastor. I sure appreciate that. We're already going to pre-book you. I'll sow the seed right now for next year. Not a problem, brother. So just let all the brothers know you got in your network. I'm already booked right here, man. So let's go ahead and just sing it out together, Softly and Tenderly. If I can find it in the red hymn. Yeah, there you go, 161 in the red hymn. What better to end this this service with this song? As you guys can see, church, we have a unique physical layout. We don't have an altar here, but you know what? You have the better altar right here in the heart. So if you guys can do me a favor, and as the Lord ministered to your heart through the vessel, If the Spirit of God touched your heart to take care of anything with the Lord before you leave those doors, like Pastor said, what baggage do you got? What do you need to cut off? What are some things that you need to be healed from? As we sing this hymn to the Lord, I want you to pray and ask Him to take care of those things in your heart so that way you can enter into the new year, just like Pastor said, ready as the Lord has you. So, amen. So,
let's go ahead and sing together now as we come to a close, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Amen. My guitar player, sorry. And, all right, here we go. Softly and tenderly.
On the one.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
On the third.
Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and for me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home.
All the last.
Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised, promised for you and for me.
There it is.
Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Father in heaven, we thank you once again, Lord, for the great message you gave through Pastor Edgar, God. I know that it definitely spoke to my heart, Lord. I just thank you, God, how the Holy Spirit operates through the members of the body of Christ, Lord, to open up this book, this living word of God, to be able to minister to us. And Lord, I just pray that our members received, Lord, what it is that you had prepared for us, that we needed to be reminded of how we're going to enter into this promise, this new year coming for us, and what that means for us as a church family, and what that means for us individually. So Lord, for us as the members here receiving the word, whatever we need to take care of, however we need to respond, I hope that we did it in our hearts. And if there's anybody else, God, that needs to still talk to you, I hope that they take care of that before the night ends and their bedtime as they are getting ready to shut their eyes to go to sleep, Lord. In faith, I pray that they would talk to you one-on-one and just be personal with you, Lord. If there's anything that they're carrying, anything they need to cut off, anything they need to be healed from, pains and sufferings and sadness from people, Lord, I know what I am going to talk to you about tonight, Lord, and I'm thankful that the word refreshed me today. So, Father, I thank you for the word. Please help our dear friend get back up home safely, Lord, as he travels with his children. We thank you for the church family up there and what you're doing, God, in Fontana, Lord. I pray that you might allow us the opportunity to continue to be a friend to them, Lord, and serve them the best we can, to be an encouragement, to continue in this good fight of faith, this running the race, Lord, as we're all doing it as best we can in the field. We thank you now for this time, and it's in Jesus' name. We say church, amen. Guys, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Hang out. Feel free to fellowship. Encourage the pastor. There's some donuts if you guys want to be a blessing to Pastor, y'all are more than welcome to. Amen. And then we'll call it a day. Amen. Thank you so much, church.
Hey, brother.
Hey, Pastor. Thank you. Hold on. Give me a second.
I said we're going to...